It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Hello, hello, hello. It is January 27th, 2021, and it's 1902 UTC, so it's time to start up the show. Welcome, thanks for tuning in, or listening on the archive. I'm Marcus, and I'll be here with you for 30 minutes or so, until the Doobie Skulls Committee with Tobe fires up at 1930 UTC. I do want to take a moment and just acknowledge today's Holocaust Memorial Day, or International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And it's an observance to commemorate the victims of the Holocaust, the genocide of at least 6 million Jews by Nazi Germany. Many countries, primarily in Europe, have designated national dates of commemoration. In 2005, the United Nations instituted an international observance, International Holocaust Remembrance Day. Many observances fall on today, January 27th, the anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz concentration camp in 1945. The U.S. has an 8-day remembrance that's from the Sunday before Yom HaShoah to the Sunday after Yom HaShoah, but doesn't tell me on Wikipedia what days those are. So anyway, just something that popped up in my news feed. Figured we'd mention it. So we're going to start the day. We always do. World news. And also telling you to go to com. That's what I'm doing right now. Just SSH over to SDF, and then type com, and then, sorry about that, type G for go to, and then go to Anon Radio. Boom. Time for Anon Radio. Aw, yeah. And look at that. We got people ready to chat. Sorry I'm a little behind, but we got X1 and Jazzmaz. Chilling out, pretty rad, and Publius, and nobody, everybody's here. It's a good time. All right, let's get going. This news is a little unordered, because I ran out of time. I've been working a lot of extra hours, so I'm a bit everywhere. But let's get going. First up, UK AstraZeneca vaccine plant says production unaffected by suspicious package. A suspicious package at an AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine plant in Wales forced a temporary suspension of manufacturing has been made safe and production schedules of the shots has not been affected, the company Wockhard UK said on Wednesday. The Wockhard plant in Wrexham provides so-called fill-and-finish capacity for AstraZeneca's UK supply chain, which is the final manufacturing step of putting vaccines into vials or syringes and packaging them. Wockhard said there had been a partial evacuation of its site after it received package on Wednesday morning, and that manufacturing was paused while the package was investigated. He now confirmed that the package was made safe and staff are now being allowed back into the facility. This temporary suspension of manufacturing has in no way affected our production schedule. So, oh, body count in the house. This isn't the only AstraZeneca story we've got today, because the EU and the UK, are fighting about, these AstraZeneca vaccines also. AstraZeneca, has told the EU they're going to have to reduce their deliveries by like 60% because of delivery problems in secondary production plants in the EU, but in the agreement, they had primary production facilities labeled as being in the UK, but they're not providing extra, they're not making up the shortfall from the secondary plants from the primary plant. Instead, they're just not going to give it to the EU, and that's pissing them off. Over here at the BBC, we've got a bit of detail. What is the EU complaining about? At a news conference, EU Health Commissioner Stella Kyriakides said UK factories, which have not experienced problems, were part of its deal with the company and they had to deliver. The 27 European Union member states are united that AstraZeneca needs to deliver on its commitments and our agreements. In an interview on Tuesday, the Italian newspaper La Repubblica, AstraZeneca CEO Pascal Soroy told the contract compelled it to make its best effort, rather than obliging it to meet a set of deadline for a delivery of the vaccines. So, Ms. Kyriakides, it's a not a name I'm familiar with. Oop. It's got a K in front of their K-Y-R. Kilo Yankee Romeo India Alpha Kilo India Delta Echo Sierra. So I'm not sure how to say that. Anyway, said the deal was not correct or acceptable and called on the company to be open and transparent about its production of vaccines. We signed an advance purchase agreement for a product which at the time did not exist and which still today is not yet authorized, and we signed it precisely to ensure that the company builds a manufacturing capacity to produce the vaccines early so that they can deliver a certain volume of doses the day it's authorized. She added that the EU rejected the logic of first come, first serve. So, this is a troubling, but one of the first big stories that's going to come out with the trade disputes and the difference where EU and UK kind of have to fight it out. So, we'll see what happens. I hope they can come to an equitable agreement. Well, let's keep on moving. There's lots of other stuff going on. If we go to France 24, at least 100 jihadists killed in joint French-Malian offensive in central Mali. 100 jihadists were killed this month in a joint Franco-Malian offensive in the West African country's Lawless Center. 100 terrorists were neutralized, about 20 captured, and several motorbikes and war equipment were seized. During the operation with France's Barkhane force, which aims to eradicate jihadists in the Sahel region, the Malian army said on its website, Mali had been struggling with the jihadist insurgency that broke out in the north of the country in 2012, so 9 years ago, before spreading to the central and then to Burkina Faso and Niger, often inflaming ethnic rivalries. Mali's former colonial ruler first intervened in the country in 2013 to help drive back jihadist forces advancing on Bamako. It now has 5,100 troops deployed across Africa's arid Sahel region as part of its Barkhane operation. Earlier this month, the French military said it had killed 15 jihadists near Mali's border with Burkina Faso, where an Al-Qaeda-linked group is active. Just making sure I don't jump into the U.S. news too soon. There we go. We got some more world news over here. France is facing class action lawsuit over racial profiling by police. In a first for France, six non-governmental organizations launched a class action lawsuit on Wednesday to press the French government into tackling systemic discrimination by police officers carrying out identity checks. The organization, including Human Rights Watch and Amnesty International, contend that French police use racial profiling and ID checks targeting black people and people of Arab descent. They serve Prime Minister Jean Castex, I don't ever know how to say his last name, Castex, and France's Interior and Justice Ministers with formal legal notice of demands for concrete steps and deep law enforcement reforms to ensure that racial profiling does not determine who gets stopped by police. Apparently so. The lead lawyer in the case, Antoine Leon Cayenne, said that the legal action is not targeting individual police officers, but that the system itself that generates, by its rules, habits, culture, a discriminatory practice. Since the shortcomings of the state concern a systemic practice, the response, the reactions, the remedies, the measure must be systemic. Leon Cayenne said at a news conference with NGOs taking action. They include the Open Society Justice Initiative and three French grassroots groups. So, we'll see how this works out for them. You can check it out. There's a video and some photos on France 24's website if you want to get more details. If we go a little bit further east, we get into Russia and Navalny protests. Now, this is kind of on the blend of tech news and not. Hey, welcome, MetaQ. So, what do we got? Well, Russia has said social media platforms will face fines for failing to delete posts that encourage young people to take part in opposition protests. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and others failed to comply with the government's demand to remove the posts, the Russian media watchdog said. Fines could be as much as 4 million rubles, which is 53,000 US, or 39,000 pounds. It said rallies in support of the jailed opposition leader Alexei Navalny were held around Russia on Saturday. Tens of thousands of people defied a heavy police presence to attend the demonstrations, and social media played a key role in driving young people to take to the streets. Posts promoting the rallies were viewed hundreds of millions of times on TikTok. The flood of videos prompted Russia's official media watchdog, Roskomnadzor, to demand the app take down any information encouraging minors to act illegally. Mr. Navalny, President Putin's most high-profile critic, called for protests after he was arrested at Moscow's airport on arrival from Berlin on the 17th of January. So, very interesting stuff. I'm always surprised at the real-world implication that social networks seem to be able to drive, and TikTok coming into that space is pretty neat. I'm interested to see how it goes or how it keeps working. And this is a little bit lighter story, not really too light though. This is a story coming to us from India and the BBC. In one of his shows, stand-up comic Munawar Faruqi cracks a dark joke about his native Gujarat state and the deadly riots of 2002. Now, Jungada is a very lazy city. This is a... yeah, I'll take my TikTok from my cold, dead hands. In one of his shows, the stand-up, he basically has a joke where he calls his hometown, Jungada, is a very lazy city. People go for siestas, shop shut, nothing happens. So what he's talking about, or that's the setup, and then the joke is, we were 8 kids in the house. I was happy because I didn't have to go to school. The electricity used to go, but the phones went dead. The elders in the home were anxious for their safety. But when the riots ended, we found out nobody died in Junagadh. You know why? People were too lazy to even riot. So that's the joke that offended people quite a lot. Enough to get him thrown in jail. The story is, on the evening of January 1st, he was kicking off a 14-city tour with a ticketed show in a cafe in the central city of Indore. A leader of a local Hindu fringe group had arrived and stopped the show, complaining that the comic was insulting Hindu religious sentiments. Indore is a prominent city in Madhya Pradesh, which is ruled by the Hindu nationalist BJP party. That's Bravo, Juliet, Papa. Hindus make up the vast majority of India's population. In a mobile phone video recorded by an audience member, Faruqi is seen pleading with Eklavya Gaud, the son of ruling BJP politician, that he also jokes about Muslims in his show, and that he should be allowed to continue. I just want to make people laugh. If anyone feels offended, I'll never do it again. Let the show begin, scream impatient audience members. And Hindus and Muslims are brothers, a woman in the audience is heard telling Mr. Gaud. So, the guy left and called the police, and then he got taken away. Yeah, it's pretty wild. India is the world's largest by population democracy, and so it's kind of one of those things where whenever this kind of stuff happens, it always catches my eye or makes me go, oh, okay. We've got one other story. We're a little out of order, but we'll go back to Poland and talk about abortion rights. This is from Reuters. A Polish constitutional court verdict restricting access to abortion will go into effect on Wednesday, Poland's government said, 3 months after it sparked nationwide protests. In October, the Constitutional Court said termination of pregnancies due to fetal defects should be banned, ending the most common of the few legal grounds for abortion that remained in the largely Roman Catholic country. Under the ruling, abortions are now only permitted in cases of rape and incest and when the mother's life or health is endangered, pushing Poland further from the European mainstream. Officials from the ruling Law and Justice Party said the government would now focus on assisting parents of disabled children, although the party and its predecessors have been accused by critics of not doing enough to help such families so far. The state can no longer take a life away because someone is sick, disabled, and poor health, lawmaker Bartolome Robluski told Reuters. Conservative values have taken a more prominent role in public life since the Nationalist Party took power in 2015. Access to abortion has declined even without the legislative curbs as more doctors refuse to perform the procedure on religious grounds. Ooh, holy fires. Oh. Calm is always fun. If you're listening to the show and you're not in Calm and you can read, it's a good time. It's worth joining up. So anyway, this is that's what's going on in Poland. We've got a couple of tech stories and then also a few U.S. news stories, and we're doing good on time, which is pretty cool. So. So let's go ahead and let's play a song real quick. It is 18 minutes after the hour, so that means we've got around 12 and some change minutes to go. Well, 11 and some change now. Let's grab a song. I don't like those. Oh, I know which one I want. Let me see if I have it. Oop. Oh, I only have that one record. Shucks. You never know. It's always hard to remember where you have your music. But that's okay. We'll jump over. We'll just use a different song. Oh, here we go. Gotta make sure it's the right song. Sorry for the dead air. I was going to have a song, but then it was like it wasn't there. It made me sad. Anyway. Do 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 do. Where'd you go? Horseradishes. Alright, well, here we go. This is going to be Counting Blue Cars from Dishwalla.
Oh. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is right. Thank you, SDF. Howdy, howdy, howdy. We've got, 7 minutes or so to get through the rest of the news, which is great, because we've got around 7 stories. Huzzah. Managed to hit the good luck charm there. All right, we're going to start up here with the tech news, because...
Is it time for tech news?
Oh, yeah, it is.
It is time for tech news.
It is serious times. Let's check this out. The Emotet botnet takedown by international police. Police have seized thousands of computers running the most dangerous hacking networks worldwide. And we're talking black hacking. The Emotet network obtains access to victims' computers via malicious email attachments, then sells it to criminals who install more dangerous malware. Police from the UK, EU, US, and Canada work together to disrupt Emotet. Europol called it one of the most significant botnets of the past decade and one of the main door openers for computer systems worldwide. Once this unauthorized access was established, these were sold to other top-level criminal groups to deploy further illicit activities, such as data theft and extortion through ransomware. The BBC... They've got a tweet that I blocked. Dmitry Smilianets from Recorded Future said even if the creator and his support and operators are not arrested, they likely will not try to rebuild. They have enough cash to retire in peace or start a new criminal adventure. A working botnet is a very complicated and gentle system. If more than a half of the infrastructure is not working, it's safe to say bye-bye. Emotet was initially a banking Trojan designed to spy on victims' computers and steal login details. Victims would receive an apparently important Word document marked for their intention. When opened, it would ask them to enable macros, a seemingly innocent feature built into Microsoft Word that would open up their system to arbitrary code. The most successful and prevalent malware of 2020 by a long way, he said it had, over the course of the year, sent phishing emails with more than 150,000 different subject lines and 100,000 file names of the attachments. It constantly adjusted its phishing email to victims, interests, and global events. For example, the COVID-19 pandemic or major shopping seasons such as Black Friday. And although the Europol announcement may seem abstract, it would protect the public from cyber threats that have caused losses of millions, if not more, dollars. Yeah, so MS Word macros still infecting millions and millions of computers. Google has announced their iPhone apps such as Maps and YouTube will stop using a tool from Apple that allows them to personalize ads, avoiding a new Apple warning that informs users their browser is being tracked. The announcement in a Wednesday blog post by the Alphabet unit, Alphabet, it's the parent company, comes shortly before Apple is expected to start enforcing a new tracking transparency rule. Apple for years has supplied apps with a unique identifier known as an IDFA, that's India Delta Foxtrot Alpha, to help them link the same user across multiple programs. The code can be essential in determining to whom to show an ad and tracking whether it prompted them to make a purchase. But Apple has said that early this year, it will require that apps show users a one-time pop-up message to gain their consent to access their IDFA. Facebook Inc. and other app makers are concerned the warning may discourage users from opting in and cripple ad sales. As users of Google's apps are typically logged in, it is a tracking alternative to IDFA, and as such, its core ad businesses would likely not be affected. But it warned in a blog post that publishers and advertisers that rely on its mobile ad software will experience weaker results without IDFA access. Yeah, sad. So sad. You mean you won't be able to harvest more data? I think that's probably the goal of the iOS feature. But it's news nonetheless that Google is taking these steps and being very transparent about it. Someone that's not really transparent, or at least... not transparent or clear to us, is coming to us from a story on Reuters. Finnish technology firm Nokia said on Wednesday it wasn't aware of any reason for the continuing surge in its sale price. Nokia is not aware of any material, undisclosed corporate developments, or material change in its business or affairs that has not been publicly disclosed that would account for the recent increase in the market price or trading volumes of its shares. Nokia's shares were 41% higher on Wednesday. So, what's going on? Nobody knows. One of the big stories I don't have out is, you know, Reddit. There's a large Reddit group that isn't like makes investment bets, and they essentially saved GameStop and AMC while also bankrupting like a hedge fund. So it's kind of funny. We've got enough rich people who are bored, I guess. All right, let's keep on a moving. Next piece. We're slowly exiting the tech and entering into the political in the U.S. First up, Amazon seeks to block workers from voting by mail in landmark union drive. 5,000 workers in Bessemer, Alabama, to vote in a landmark effort, and mail ballots used in similar votes because of the coronavirus. So Amazon's attempting to force workers planning to unionize to vote in person rather than by mail as it fights off a landmark attempt by its staff to organize. The company is appealing against a ruling by a National Labor Relations Board officer to permit 5,800 employees at Amazon's warehouse to begin casting ballots by mail to be represented by the Retail, Wholesale, and Department Store Union. The NLRB, the federal agent responsible for enforcing U.S. labor law, favors manual elections but has moved to supporting mail-in ballots during the coronavirus pandemic. Between March and November 2020, 90% of union election representation cases presided by the NLRB were conducted by mail rather than in person. Of course, this is some additional news for you. Albertsons fired everyone that was in the union. They fired there, and so don't support them if you can. And then Instacart, as soon as their workers unionized, they just fired everyone that was in the union. So don't be a scab and don't be like that. Support your local unions and workers' rights. So anyway, just as a heads up, I was surprised. I figured Instacart would do something like that, but I didn't realize that Albertsons would too. So, and the last, well, we've only got about 30 seconds. So the Proud Boys leader was actually an FBI informant. Read up on that on Reuters. It's also going to be a breaking headline across all the different news sites. He's apparently been an informant since 2012. So why they let him go off the rails and try and overthrow the country, nobody knows. White House is saying that Huawei is still a threat to national security. And some dude in Portland just went kind of bonkers and just started running over people. And he killed an elderly woman. But it was pretty wild. Anyway, thanks for listening. I gotta go. Enjoy Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee in about 5 seconds.
That means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for...